Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to talk hockey with the guys in the know. It's the Panthers Insider Show right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
It is indeed the Florida Panthers Insider Show. Chris Whittingham and Doug Plagans taking you through the week that was and looking ahead to the week that will be for the Florida Panthers as they put together a pretty productive week. A couple of victories against the Washington Capitals and the Calgary Flames on Thursday night. Coming up tomorrow night, it is the Florida Panthers taking on the Montreal Canadiens. Another week full of home games. Tomorrow night against Montreal, Tuesday night against Buffalo, Thursday against Carolina, and Saturday against the Los Angeles Kings. So plenty to get to here on the program. Welcome in, Doug Plagans.
Thanks very much. Good morning to everybody out there. And you mentioned some of the upcoming schedule. They're always entertaining when the Panthers and the Canadiens hit the ice against each other. That's going to be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock
in the BB&T Center.
Always is, and the Panthers will be the slightly more rested team going into that hockey game. Buffalo on Tuesday, Carolina Thursday. Those are three teams to start the week coming into the BB&T Center, all with a ton on the line, just like the Panthers going into these games. So those are going to be some entertaining ones, no doubt about that. And the Panthers wrap up this long homestand a week from tonight against the LA Kings. And note that is going to be a 5 p.m. puck drop for that game a week from tonight. 954-835-PUCK, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com as always to get your tickets. Folks, if you want a chance to win a 2019 Ford Explorer and other amazing prizes while helping raise funds for the South Florida community, well, the Panthers Foundation is excited to announce the Cats Car Raffle from now until March 1st. Go to FloridaPanthers.com/PayItForward to enter to win. Don't miss out on this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But, Chris, we've got a ton planned here for the hour. A busy hour coming up here on the Panthers Insider Show.
Yes, indeed. We have a look back on the week that was to play the highlights of all the goals. We'll hear from the Florida Panthers head coach Bob Bugner as they get ready to prepare for tomorrow's game against Montreal. Then we'll hear a cut from the most recent episode of Territory Talk, the podcast that you co-host with Jamison Olive. You guys had the chance to sit down with Jamie McGinn, and then you had an opportunity as well to speak with Panthers defenseman Josh Brown. That's coming up. And then we'll close by being joined by the newly hired vice president and director of athletics, Brian White from FAU, who is a great partner of the Florida Panthers, so a ton to get to, but we should start with the week in review. Panthers playing four games in the last week. It started last Saturday night. Since we last spoke to you here on Panthers Insider, it was the Panthers away to the Washington Capitals. In the first period, it was less than a minute it would take for the Panthers to take a 2-0 lead. From the 12:55 mark, it'd be Frank Vatrano first to light the lamp.
Troy Brower down to the end boards, picked up there by Vatrano, has it in the trapezoid far side. It's Brassard to the center of the blue line, Ekblad near side, Trocheck top of the circle. Trocheck in front, and they score! Frank Vatrano, a power play goal, and the Panthers have taken a 1-0 lead. It was put out in front, it took a bounce, Vatrano got to it first, and he is able to cash in.
His 18th of the year from Vincent Trocheck and Aaron Ekblad, but it would take only 35 seconds before the Panthers can make it 2-0.
Washington zone with 6:38 to go in the first period. Puck played up the near wall. Ekblad held it in down to the far corner. Malkin out to the line. Yandle. Long shot tipped and they score! Off the post and in. The Panthers have a 2-0 lead with 6.5 minutes to go in the first. That one took a deflection on the way in.
And it's Keith Yandle's 8th of the year from Dennis Malgin and Riley Sheahan. Now, from there, Washington would do everything they can to climb their way back into the game. Panthers would have a 2-goal lead three different times in this one. First, Brett Connolly would make it 2-1, his 11th of the year from Andre Burakovsky and Christian Juice. And then Colton Sevier would make it 3-1 again.
Into the neutral zone and into the offensive end is Sevier down to our left for the Panthers. He'll take it down behind the net over to the far side. Sheahan there had it poked off his stick, held in far point. Long shot tip, they score! Aaron Ekblad put it to the net. That one took a deflection on the way, and the Panthers have a 3-1 lead.
And again, a two-goal lead in the game. But again, the response just before the end of the second period from Lars Eller of Washington, his seventh of the year. And then in the third, basically, again, only about a minute's worth of play in between, Derek Brassard would make it 4-2.
Start of the period, in come the Panthers, and Derek Brassard scores 7 seconds into period number three. The Panthers dart in quickly. Derek Brassard heads in. He scores his first goal as a Panther, and it's 4-2, 7 seconds into the third.
Catching us all off guard and scoring 7 seconds into the period, Derek Brassard, but Brett Connolly would make it 4-3. Evgeny Kuznetsov would make it 4-4. Finally, Washington overturning that two-goal lead. We would go into overtime, but the Panthers would start the overtime on the power play and take advantage.
Barkov over to Yandle in overtime here. Yandle, top of the near circle. A one-timer Barkov shot block. Yandle in front, and they score! The overtime winner! And the Panthers win at 5-4 in overtime. A 5-4 win for the Panthers, a power play goal in overtime, and Mike Hoffman got a stick on that one, deposits it home for his 25th of the year, and the overtime winner here in Washington.
And Brett Connolly taking that two-minute penalty for slashing, and the Panthers make him pay.
And the Panthers in that game, of course, just continued to stick to it all night. And you had the feeling as that game went on, Washington was able to get some chances. They were able to force it into overtime. But the Panthers really kept the foot on the gas the whole time. And again, even though Washington was able to get that game tied up, you had the feeling the Panthers were going to be the team that one way or another was going to find a way to get the 2 points. They always play the Washington Capitals tough, and they got the big overtime win in that one, and Mike Hoffman has been so reliable all season.
Yep.
and that was just a great goal for the overtime winner.
You mentioned in the commentary 25th of the year for Mike Hoffman. Then on the next night, on a back-to-back, it would be the Florida Panthers entertaining the Tampa Bay Lightning. Nikita Kucherov came into the game not scoring a goal in 10. He then opened the scoring and had 2 goals on the night. Steven Stamkos, Ryan Callahan, and Braden Point with his 32nd goal of the year with the Tampa Bay scoring. Florida responding with Frank Vatrano's 19th and Dennis Malgin's 6th, and the Panthers dropped that one by 5-2. And then on Tuesday night, Panthers are shut out at the BB&T Center. Tyler Seguin, Asa Lindell, and Tyler Seguin with his second of the night to make it 3-0 to Dallas. But then on Thursday night, it'd be the Florida Panthers entertaining the Calgary Flames. Would have a scoreless first before Evgeny Dadonov would open the scoring 35 minutes into the game.
As the Panthers pressure on the offensive end, Mark Pesek, a shot that deflects off to the far side. Mark Pesek out to the line. Keith Yandle drives it down behind the net. And then Hoffman over to that far corner. He's got it out to the far circle, out to the high slot. Hoffman left it for Pesek, straight on, backs up, long shot. It's tipped, they score! The Panthers have struck first!
Evgeny Dadonov's 20th of the year for Mark Pesek and Mike Hoffman, and the Panthers go into the third period leading 1-0, but Mark Janowski responding with the equalizing goal 6 minutes into the third before the Panthers had regained their lead.
Face off far side of the ice. Panthers having the offensive end down to our left. Yandle at the line. Far boards for Hoffman. Cuts in. Wrist shot. Top shelf. He scores! Mike Hoffman upstairs with a laser beam, and the Panthers are back in front.
With 8 minutes to play in the game, Mike Hoffman's 26th of the year, an impressive season for the acquisition from Ottawa. Keith Yandle, Vincent Trocheck with the assist on that goal. Panthers 2-1 leaders with 8 minutes to play, but Calgary would not be done. Elias Lindholm with his 25th of the year to tie the game at 2, heading into overtime. There would not be any goals in the 3-on-3 overtime, and we would go to a shootout. Calgary would open the scoring in the shootout with Sean Monahan, but the Panthers with a terrific shootout performance, first from Alexander Barkov to make it 1-1, and then the winner from Vincent Trocheck.
He's going to bring it off to the near side. Trocheck through the left circle, cuts in front, top shelf, he scores! Vincent Trocheck has given the Panthers the lead here in the shootout.
That would prove to be the winning goal in the shootout. Panthers win it by 3-2 over the Calgary Flames.
Barkov and Trocheck both went top shelf during the shootout to beat Mike Smith, who was brilliant in that overtime period. The Panthers had a ton of chances in the 3-on-3 session, but weren't able to get the 2 points there. They got it done in the shootout, so a big win over a very good Calgary Flames team that's been up near the top of the Western Conference all season long. So that win right there kind of paves the way for what lies ahead for the Panthers here over the course of the next week. And yesterday after practice, Bob Bugner had this to say about the message for the upcoming week.
My message today was obviously Sunday's an important game. We want to keep this thing going. We got a day of rest tomorrow. But if you look next week at our schedule, and we haven't done a very good job of you know, middle pack teams, I'll call it, you know, having success in those kind of games. We sort of let our guard down a little bit. And when we play the real high-end teams, who seems to bring the best out of us. And if you see our wins in the last 3 weeks, going back to before the break, you know, the Torontos and the San Jose's, and, you know, after the break and hitting Vegas and Pittsburgh and a game in Washington, last thing against Calgary, those are all tough, tough games. You know, some other games that we haven't been good in, we should, you know, treat those the same. So talked about next week. This, we're playing a lot of teams in the middle of the pack, and our mentality's got to be just have a good game on Sunday and try and have a successful week next week.
So Panthers head coach Bob Bugner right there talking about the message for the upcoming week. Again, the Panthers coming up this week at home. You've got tomorrow night, 7 p.m. against Montreal. Tuesday, 7 p.m. against Buffalo. Thursday, the Carolina Hurricanes come in for a 7 o'clock face-off. A week from tonight, the Panthers entertain the L.A. Kings. That's going to be a 5 o'clock puck drop a week from tonight at the BB&T Center, 954-835-PUCK, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com for all your tickets. More from Bob Bugner, though. You look at that game against Calgary. The Panthers won it 3-2 in a shootout, and the penalty kill, as has been the case lately, has been was outstanding in that game. It went 4-for-4, the Panthers did, on their on the penalty kill. That was a big reason the Panthers were able to come away with the 2 points back on Thursday. The penalty kill has been very reliable here, and here's Bob Bugner talking about the penalty kill success coming off that game on Thursday night.
Earlier on in the season, we changed our PK forecheck in the neutral zone, so we make it a lot harder to enter our zone. I think that's probably number one. You know, having Troach back obviously helps in the face-off circle, winning our fair share of draws. But I think we just changed our mindset. We sat back too much originally in the beginning of the year, and I think we're a more aggressive penalty kill now. So I think the, that's probably the biggest difference is the mentality when we're out there. It's more straight lines. It's, you know, winning more battles. Obviously, with those guys out earlier in the year and Barkey, how much he played. And you know, I think Brownie's really helped on the penalty kill as a young guy, blocking shots. But Melgi's got speed, and you know, the guys that aren't necessarily the first unit power play guys have to, you know, help out, not only with their depth 5-on-5, but they got to help out on special teams as well. So it's good to see, you know, guys like that coming up big on the kill for us.
Panthers head coach Bob Bugner right there talking about the penalty kill success lately, and was able to catch up yesterday after practice as well with a couple of guys who've been key parts of this Panthers penalty kill. First, here is Riley Sheahan, newly acquired by the Panthers. He talks about the success of the penalty kill against Calgary on Thursday night.
Yeah, I think it was huge. I forget how many we took. I think 4 in a row, kind of. So for our PK to get the job done and create some momentum, it definitely helps. And I think the guys in the PK units look forward to going out there and knowing we can build some momentum and help our team win, so it's fun. It's fun when you can kind of go nonstop pressure, and I think the goal of our unit is to just sort of keep skating and keep pressure on the puck, so I think we've been doing a good job at that.
Riley Sheahan of the Panthers right there talking about some of the keys lately on the penalty kill. And Mike Matheson, one of the Panthers defensemen, comments on the penalty kill as well and also talks about some of the keys to it.
It's really big. I thought we did a really good job of shutting down their power play. They obviously have a lot of firepower on it and have had a lot of success this year on it. So I think we've been building a lot of confidence through our PK and through our power play this year. And it was nice that it was able to keep us in the game last night. It's probably the thing that I try to focus on the most. And it gives me a lot of confidence too, going out there and being relied upon for that. I think it's helped me gain a lot of confidence through the rest of my game too. I think that's the biggest difference that we've made, and it makes it so much harder on the power plays when you are aggressive. You know, there's such good players in the league, and if you give them time, they're going to seam you, they're going to make passes and make plays because that's what they're good at. And you can see it when our power play is doing that too. You know, when we played a passive PK, our guys are able to kind of go tic-tac-toe and set up a nice goal, whereas when they're being aggressive against us, it's a lot harder. And so that's what we try to accomplish in our PK.
So Mike Matheson of the Panthers right there talking about some of what's led to the Panthers having this penalty kill success lately. 4 for 4, mentioned it in that game against Calgary that the Panthers won in a shootout back on Thursday. And no easy task there considering some of the offensive weapons that the Calgary Flames bring to the table. But that's kind of been part of the key lately for the Panthers. It wasn't just the game against Calgary. Even, you know, going back before that, just, recent weeks and really over the course of most of the season, that penalty kill unit's been so reliable. And especially when you look at some of the teams the Panthers have matched up against lately and some of the big-time offensive talent that the opposition's brought in lately, and the Panthers have been able to keep those opposing power plays in check. So great work by the penalty kill, and that's been a big part of the Panthers' success. And with all these home games coming up at the BB&T Center over the course of the next week, I know Chris and I are excited about this. We want to talk about the 3 new culinary experiences the BB&T Center concession stands. Come out to a Panthers home game for a new taste of the BB&T Center, including a brunch option, Smells Like Brunch, a classic chicken option, Chick It Out, located section 105, and a more spicy option, Taco About It, located in section 129 and 307. For more information, go to floridapanthers.com/concessions. I know you and I have had a chance to sample some of the new offerings. I know we had a private tasting event not too long ago, got to see what a lot of it was all about. And I'll tell you what, there are so many good options. You're going to enjoy it next time you come out to the BB&T Center. And you have, well, it just so happens, tomorrow night, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, 4 times this week, you could not only come out and watch some Panthers hockey, but come out and check out some of these new food offerings as well. I know you've had some of it too, Chris.
Yes, indeed. I was at the game on Tuesday. I was not working on the radio broadcast, just as a fan, and walking around the concourse. It's like you don't even know where to begin with the bevy of options that are now available at the BB&T Center. So go and check that out at the arena. Again, you got 4 games this week to check out for the Florida Panthers: Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Go out to the BB&T Center and go on an empty stomach so you can have a nice time and sample the various food offerings. By the way, just a quick stat to back up your penalty kill numbers. So since the start of January, the Florida Panthers have been the second best penalty kill in the league by percentage, only Columbus better. They've been killing off 97% of their penalties. That's an incredible statistic. But the Panthers second at 90.5%. So 9 out of every 10 penalties they are killing off. Since the start of December, they've been third best in the league. So every way you look at it, the Panthers have been excellent in that category.
And the Panthers have been a very disciplined team throughout, not having to rely on that penalty kill too much. But when they've been in a situation where they've taken a penalty, it's just good to know that you have the penalty killing prowess going right now. The Panthers able to get past those situations, and that was again a big reason why they picked up the 2 points on Thursday.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable. You look at since the start of December, they're 4th best on the power play and 3rd best on the penalty kill, and those are 2 massive areas if you're going to try and win some hockey games. So definitely an opportunity for the Panthers this week with a bunch of home games. But coming up next, we have a couple of interviews we want to bring to you. We have first, Jamie McGinn had the chance to sit down with Doug and Jameson Olive on the Florida Panthers podcast, Territory Talk, and also Doug sat down one-on-one with Panthers defenseman Josh Brown. That's coming up next on the Florida Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Radio.com. Radio.com. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show, right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
This is the Florida Panthers Insider Show. Chris Whittingham, Doug Plagans, bringing you through everything that happened in the last week and looking forward to the next week with the Florida Panthers, picking up a couple of victories in the week against Washington and against Calgary. Back in action tomorrow night, taking on the Montreal Canadiens. A slew of home games this week: Montreal, Buffalo, Carolina, and LA tomorrow, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. So plenty to check out at the BB&T Center.
Every other night starting tomorrow, 954-835-PUCK, floridapanthers.com, ticketmaster.com for tickets. And folks, you can join the Florida Panthers Foundation at the Pucks and Pints Beer Fest presented by Funky Buddha Brewery on March 10th. Sample beer from several breweries, listen to live music, and watch the Cats defend home ice against the Red Wings that night at the BB&T Center. A portion of the proceeds benefit the Panthers Foundation. Must be 21 or older. For ticket packages, go to floridapanthers.com. If you haven't checked out Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Florida Panthers, we urge you to do so. We did the 50th episode this week, so a little bit of a milestone. Jameson Olive and I co-host that, and of course, you can find it at floridapanthers.com/territorytalk. Talk, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, anywhere that you find your favorite podcast. And this week we had a chance to sit down with Jamie McGinn, and it was just a great conversation. We talked for about, I'd say it was about 19, 20 minutes in all, but we have a little excerpt from that segment right here from the conversation with Jamie McGinn. And well, here is Jamie McGinn beginning by talking about his hockey family, as he's got a couple of brothers who played in the National Hockey League as well.
I think we started, you know, being Canadian, first of all.
It's a prerequisite.
Yeah, you gotta have hockey somewhere along the line there. And we just enjoyed, you know, growing up watching hockey. We had a hockey rink in the backyard, you know, with those harsh winters and everything that gets cold. My dad was a lacrosse player and a hockey player growing up, and my mom was a figure skater. So we kind of had, you know, the athletic gene in the family, and they pushed, you know, just being active as kids, you know, road hockey, any way to be active. So we all played lacrosse, we all played hockey growing up. And the best part was, in the summertime, when you go home, you get to compete with each other, you get to train with each other. So we're a very close family, and we try and make each other better. And, you know, we're so grateful for it, and we appreciate the summers even more, just because we're all gone in the winter time. And then, you know, I think my mom loves it the most, that when we come back, we're all on the same road on the lake. We all have our own place, but we drive by each other. We train together in the summer, and, you know, we try and have a family dinner at least once a week. But I mean, other than the family dinner, we see each other all the time. Yeah. So it's just, we enjoy each other. We enjoy every moment, and that's what family's all about.
What did that competition had to fuel you guys from a pretty young age? I'm sure it wasn't just on that outdoor rink. I'm sure there was, you know, between you and your brothers, I mean, you guys probably could have been playing Monopoly or something, and I'm sure the competition, the competitiveness just, yeah, I'm sure it was off the charts.
It didn't matter. And then, you know, my mom had to calm us down all the time, and she thought the fights were serious, but it's just the competitive nature in us. And I think it started in the backyard rink. I think Ty took most of it. He was the biggest kid. He was the middle child. So I think myself and Brock kind of teamed up on him. But there was lots of hits, and we used snowbanks as the boards on the side, and there was a lot of body checks there. And you have the cage, so all the snow would stick in your cage, and then you have the panic mode where you can't breathe and everything. So there, it's a lot of fun. But, you know, we had the whole community, or in the neighborhood, all the kids would come over and play hockey. And so we had a tight neighborhood. And we, you know, Ty had a bunch of his buddies in his wedding party. I have mine coming up this summer. So we've all stayed close with the same friends. And, you know, it started at a young age. And it's awesome coming from a small town just to stay in touch with those guys.
Do you think you made it easier on your brothers a little bit, just in the sense that you went through all this first as the oldest? You were drafted first. You went, you know, made it to the NHL first. Did they use you a little bit as a resource going through?
Yeah, but they both work very hard. Mm-hmm. You know, I can only control what I do and control my work ethic and try and show them what to do. But I got to give them credit. They work very hard in the summertime. They want to prove, you know, having an older brother that's made it, you know, there's a lot of critics out there that they've only made it just because of who their older brother is. But they work their butt off, and you know, they're out there to prove people wrong. You know, Ty's got his own skill. He's big, he's physical, he's got great hands. You know, he sees the ice probably the best out of all three of us. And Brock's a fantastic skater who's got a great shot and great, you know, he can pass, he can do it all. You know, I think he's just an all-around player. So I try to help out in any situation. You know, we all go through ups and downs, and I've been through a lot. So, you know, after every game, I think we text each other, we're on the phone, and, you know, we're on the phone a lot because there seems to be games every night now. But yeah, I think I've been through a lot of situations where I can help out and guide them in the right direction.
What was it like? I know last year I remember going to Carolina, and it was the first time that you and Brock had played against each other at the NHL level. What's it been like when there's, you know, one of you on each side? And what does that do to your parents? How do they how do they root for you guys?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I mean, they've been in the stands a couple times for it, and I remember when I played Ty, I was in Colorado, he was in San Jose. I flew out my parents and my grandparents, so. You know, I think they interviewed him during the game. They said it's very nerve-wracking. When one's on the ice, they're cheering for that team. When the other one's on the ice, they're cheering for that team. But they really struggle when both of us are on the ice at the same time. They say they just don't want one to get the minus, you know, because that's so crucial. But I'm looking forward to Brock coming this year again. I think they have their father's trip. So my dad will be in town with Brock, and hopefully maybe we'll cut the jersey in half and you can wear both. I don't know, but because I know on the father's trips they hand out you know, the player's jersey and stuff like that. So it's going to be a very special moment for my dad again, and to come here and share it in this building is going to be pretty special.
You talk about jerseys. How much memorabilia is there at your parents' household with three hockey players? Did you guys like fight to see who has the most like on the walls and stuff?
I don't know if we fight about that. I'll tell a quick story. One of the cool things that we've done growing up, my grandfather has started it. He builds birdhouses. And ironically enough, he's built birdhouses for our cottages, which is, you know, as long as you guys know what that is. Some people don't. They call them camps or whatever. But so he's built these birdhouses that have every team that we've played for growing up. Mine's starting to get pretty big, and Ty's is starting to get pretty big too, and I don't know if he can keep up, but it's kind of a cool thing just to have in the backyard and kind of remind yourself where you've been. There's a lot of jerseys, there's a lot of golf shirts and track suits and stuff like that around the house, but I try and keep a lot of things. In my weight room I have a whole rack of sticks with guys I've played with that, you know, signed and personalized to me. And, because you think about it, I feel like I just got in the league yesterday and 11 years has gone by. So you try and enjoy every moment. You appreciate the NHL, first of all, and you appreciate who you've been with. I learned a lot with guys. Growing up, you know, I sat beside Rob Blake on the plane. You know, my first roommate on the road was Joe Thornton, you know, having Jeremy Roenick around the room. It was surreal. You look up to these guys growing up and you just want to be like them, and then to be playing with them, you know, you just take in as much information as you can.
Great stuff there from Jamie McGinn of the Panthers, and you can check out the whole episode of Territory Talk featuring Jamie McGinn on floridapanthers.com/territorytalk, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify. And again, big thanks everybody if you've been tuning in since the first episode, or if you just joined us for this 50th episode that we did back on Wednesday. You can expect new episodes of Territory Talk each and every Wednesday, so be sure to check that one out. Big thanks to Jamie McGinn for sitting down with Jameson and I for that one. And yesterday had a chance to and by the way, I should mention that with the Carolina Hurricanes coming to the BB&T Center on Thursday, there's a possibility we could get the McGinn versus McGinn matchup coming up on Thursday night, since Brock McGinn is a member of the Carolina Hurricanes. So that's something to look forward to for later in the week. Had a chance yesterday to catch up with Panthers defenseman Josh Brown, and the first thing we talked about, well, was the big win on Thursday night over Calgary.
Yeah, I know. That was definitely pretty big. You know, we lost a couple, and we wanted to kind of make a statement that I guess enough was enough. But yeah, they're a very skilled team. I think we just got the job done. I think we were really good on the forecheck. I think we limited their zone time in the D zone too, which is crucial against a team like that. So yeah, it was definitely a big win for us.
And the penalty kill had a huge hand in that. Just talk about the success you guys have had in that part of the game, and how much fun it is for you to have taken on a big role with that.
Yeah, you know, it's awesome. I love playing. I'm glad that they have some trust in me to put me out there with Mark. So, and he's a great penalty killer as well. So, yeah, but the system's been great these last couple games. I think it's been a big part of our game, big part of our success when we do win games. And, yeah, at the end there, obviously, that was pretty big, having to kill some of those off. Yeah, we got the job done. It was a great job by the guys.
And just defending in general, I mean, going up against Calgary, they obviously have some high-octane offensive players. And on this recent stretch, you guys have seen some of the league's best. And you and I talked about this a little bit during one of the games recently. But just being able to match up against some of these guys that, you know, that have been, you know, some of the top offensive players in the league for the last number of years. I mean, how big is it? How fun is that challenge to have each and every night?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely very fun. Obviously, like you said, you know, I've basically the last couple of years been watching these guys on TV all the time. I know how skilled they are and how good they are. So, it's definitely a fun little challenge for me to try and put myself up against the best players and see what happens. So, yeah, it's definitely been a lot of fun.
And you mentioned, playing with Mark Pesk on the penalty kill. And you guys, on the defensive side of things, you have some guys who have accumulated a lot of experience at a young age. Just how much, when you come into practice, are you able to absorb from looking at the guys around you and looking at, you know, for example, a guy like Keith Yandle who's been doing it at a very high level for a long time?
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, I think that's just the key to absorb as much as you can. So, you know, I try and be a sponge out there in practice, just watching those guys, the little things that they do day in and day out to get better. Definitely can just pick up on a couple things, or just picking their brains, you know, asking questions about the systems, what they see out there and stuff like that. So it's definitely, yeah, you know, playing with some of these guys, especially Keith, like you said, he's one of the best defensemen in the league, I think, and he's been doing it at a very high level for a very long time, like you said as well. So, yeah, it's definitely been pretty cool for me and been a lot of fun.
And for you to be able to have this experience with some familiar faces, some guys that you've spent a lot of time with in Springfield, looking at, you know, guys like Jace Hauerluck, who you played with down there a lot, or Henrik Borgstrom this season, just to be able to share this experience with them, has that been something special too?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think created a bond with some of those guys, you know, especially Ian down there as well. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. And it also just helps to have some familiar faces when I first came up, you know. Not everyone was kind of new friends or everything, so it's kind of nice to have those guys around as well. But yeah, it's definitely been a lot of fun playing with those guys up here.
And with the familiarity, I mean, you've been through you know, you've been through a couple of the camps, the development camps, things like that. Did all those experiences kind of add up to really help you know a little bit more about what to expect once this time came?
Definitely, I think you know, just with all that stuff, even just meeting just everyone from the equipment staff to the trainers to just having all that familiarity, you know, everyone knows me just because I've been around at these camps for a long time too. So I think all that just attributes to an easier transition for me, for sure.
And you just kind of look ahead here. I mean, what kind of things do you hope to accomplish from a team and individual perspective through the rest of the year?
Individually, just keep going. You know, just kind of keep working night in, night out, so that hopefully they have more and more trust in me. And if my minutes go up from there, great. If not, I'm happy in the role that I have here, obviously being up and just killing some penalties when they call my name. But and as far as the team goes, you know, we just got to keep going. You know, this thing's not over yet. We just got to keep grinding and see what's going to happen. I just think it starts, yeah, game in, game out, just being ready at puck drop. And, you know, we just got to see what happens.
And another thing I want to ask you about, Hockey World, obviously a small world, and you see familiar faces, maybe former teammates popping up around, you know, different places, whether it was in the American League, in the National Hockey League. Played against Anthony Cirelli, for example, when he was, you know, when you guys played Tampa not too long ago. But to be able to see other guys that you played with throughout the years be able to, you know, accomplish big things, is that something that's fun for you too?
Yeah, definitely. Exactly like you said, it's awesome seeing their success, and I love the fact that I used to play with them and all that. Especially a guy like Cirelli, like you said, you know, he has quite the underdog story, and he basically won the Memorial Cup for my team. So you know, I love that guy. He's one of my favorite teammates, and yeah, I love seeing the success that he's had, and I got to catch up with him after that game, so it's always great seeing him too.
And last thing, just looking ahead here, you guys have a lot of home games coming up here over the next week. Do you like getting into this groove where it kind of feels like you're playing every other day, really, at this point?
It's been a bit of an adjustment for me, just being in the Eastern Conference of the AHL most of my career. You know, we kind of have that full week off and then a 3-3 weekend kind of thing. But I do honestly kind of like it. You know, it's just we just get to kind of, yeah, just have one day off or have a practice and then right back at it, which is kind of fun. So, you know, I have a whole week to dwell on it if you had a loss or something like that. So, you know, it's just another new day. Sun comes up and back to work. So, yeah, it's definitely been – I like it a lot.
Great to catch up with Josh Brown, one of the newest Panthers, and a guy who's really made his mark there on the back end. He's contributed really nicely on the penalty kill as well. You heard him talking about that. So great to catch up with young Panthers defenseman Josh Brown right there. And Chris, we've got more to come here on the Panthers Insider Show.
Yes, indeed. Coming up next, we have the newly hired Vice President and Director of Athletics at FAU, Brian White, joining the show here on the Florida Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Radio.com. Radio.com. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show, right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Chris Whittingham, Doug Plagans, looking back on the week that was, look ahead of the week that will be for the Florida Panthers, picking up a couple of victories in the week over Washington and Calgary. Tomorrow night, back on home ice, taking on the Montreal Canadiens for home games on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday for your Panthers.
Big stretch coming up for the Panthers here on home ice. A lot of chances to see the Panthers at home again tomorrow night at 7 against Montreal, Tuesday at 7 against Buffalo, Thursday at 7 against Carolina. A week from tonight, that's Saturday at 5 p.m. against the L.A. Kings. L.A., part of a very shrinking list of teams the Panthers haven't seen yet this season. 954-835-PUCK, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com to get your tickets.
Now, one of the great partners of the Florida Panthers is FAU, and we are now joined by their Vice President and Director of Athletics, Brian White. Brian, appreciate the time.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. So you've been in the job nearly a year. How have you found the connection between FAU and its community and, in general, the state of the athletic program?
You know, it's been really incredible. It's, you know, a year in, I'm more excited now than I was when I first took the job. The community's been great. The university is under Dr. Kelly's leadership, our president. His vision is one of unbridled ambition, and I think that was what was most exciting for me coming here. And you really see it. You see tremendous potential in a football stadium where you can see the ocean. And I know you've probably heard our marketing campaigns, but it is true that we're 1.8 miles from the beach, and I think we have some strategic competitive advantages. We're the only FBS stadium where you can see the ocean from the stadium, and it's a beautiful campus, a beautiful facility. And a really tremendous community here in South Florida.
And Brian, just talking about a little bit there, of course, about the importance of sports to the university, but I know it's part of college sports everywhere, playing to win not only on the field but off the field as well.
Absolutely. And this department, we've just finished our seventh straight semester of a department-wide GPA over 3.0. We graduate our student-athletes at a rate of 8% higher than the general student body. And I don't think it's a coincidence that when you have discipline in the classroom, that carries over to the playing field and success. So we talk about, yes, we want to win, and we want to win at a high level, but we also talk about winning the right way. And for us, academics and being great community stewards is a huge part of it. Our student athletes did just over 4,500 hours of community service last year alone. So our goal is not just to prepare our student athletes for success in athletics, but also to prepare them for success in life and grow future leaders.
And Brian, I know there are a lot of things going on around the university, around the athletic department, lots of different items to talk about here. But looking at tell us about the status of the Schmidt Family Complex for the academic and athletic excellence.
You know, we're really excited about that. It's going to be a game changer, not just for athletics, but the whole university. It's a really unique blend. I will say that under Dr. Kelly's leadership here, we may be one of the more unique universities, FBS schools in the country with how well we've integrated academics and athletics. So in this building, it'll be a football operations center. It'll be a new weight room. It'll be a new athletic academic center. So a high level, you know, really a facility competitive with, we think, anywhere in the country for an athletic standpoint. But there's also going to be executive MBA programs in there. There's going to be business school classrooms in there. So there's going to be, it's a really unique facility, a beautiful facility. We think it'll be a signature facility for campus. And it's making great progress. It's coming along. All the external walls are up. It's crazy that they tell me it should be ready by November or December of this year, and it looks that way. You know, it seems to me like we've made really good progress. You see the progress each and every day. It's pretty impressive.
And Brian, just wanted to ask you about just what a great example Joan Joyce is.
She's incredible. Joan's been, her office is actually right next to mine, so I get to connect with her almost every day. I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old that love sneaking into her office for some candy. She's been as she's helped me more than I've helped her, and it's not close. She's really great to learn from, to work with. Just her experiences, her history, her mindset. She's probably the most competitive person I've ever been around, and I've been around a lot of competitive people and doing what we do. So it's pretty incredible to connect with her.
So you mentioned earlier on, we're joined here by Brian White, who is the Director of Athletics and Vice President at FAU, been there nearly a year now. You mentioned that the month of March is going to be time to recognize women in sports, and tell us about some of the success of some of the women's teams at FAU. Volleyball posting their first 20-win season since 2005, women's soccer winning the regular season title in Conference USA. What have you guys done for the growth of women's sports at FAU?
You know, there's been tremendous success, and it's really really exciting for us. And you know, we think we can be very competitive here, and even some sports we haven't been as successful in. But you know, we're constantly working with our coaches. It's really, the credit goes to our student athletes and our coaches. But our goal is to try to see what we can do to help them generate more scholarship dollars. We've had some generous supporters step up and donate some more scholarship dollars for women's sports, and just try to figure out every which way we can capitalize on our competitive advantage. Yes, we have a great recruiting base here, and we have great climate, and we have a great place to recruit student athletes to. But on top of that, you know, what can we do facility-wise, operationally-wise, with how we travel, with how we allocate scholarships? So that is a huge focus for us. But the success, you know, historically, softball has been tremendously successful. Volleyball recently has become very successful, and I see that program with a strong trajectory. Women's soccer has had great success under our current coach, and he is building a really incredible program. So we're really excited about those programs. But I also think women's golf and women's tennis are poised for tremendous success in the near future.
And that is FAU Director of Athletics and Vice President Brian White with an update on everything going on at FAU, proud partner of the Florida Panthers. Brian, appreciate the time.
Thank you so much.
All right, that is Brian White joining us here on the Florida Panthers Insider Show. Just about a couple minutes before we wrap things up, want to take a look at tomorrow night's matchup for the Florida Panthers taking on the Montreal Canadiens, who have lost two in a row coming in, losing to Nashville and Toronto. But before that, had been on a pretty solid run of form, winning 8 out of 10. It's a Montreal team that's getting hot at the right time.
It's a Montreal team that's exceeded some expectations this year, and they have come in. Obviously, they have a great goaltender there in Carey Price, but they've done a pretty good job. Claude Julien's done a pretty good job with that group this season. They've managed to be in the playoff mix for a good chunk of the year, and going into tonight's action, 31-19-7. Now, that is one thing to point to. The Montreal Canadiens, they do play tonight in Tampa. That's a 7 o'clock game, so the Panthers haven't played since Thursday. They'll have a couple days off in between. Montreal, meanwhile, they play tonight. So the Panthers are going to have significantly more rest than Montreal coming into that game. Montreal plays in Tampa tonight. They're going to have to make the quick trip over and get ready for the game tomorrow, while the Panthers are essentially waiting for this game against the Montreal Canadiens tomorrow. So a big matchup. It'll be the third of four total matchups between the two Atlantic Division foes this season. Big game coming up, and they're all big, and the Panthers looking at not only the Montreal Canadiens this week, but Buffalo coming in on Tuesday, Carolina coming in on Thursday, yep, and LA coming in a week from tonight. These are all teams that have a ton on the line, so you can expect some pretty hotly contested matchups between the Panthers and the opposition this week, and it all starts with the game tomorrow. The Panthers and the Montreal Canadiens, 7 o'clock face-off at the BB&T Center, as always, 954-835-PUCK, floridapanthers.com, ticketmaster.com for your tickets.
Yeah, you look at the wildcard standings right now. Montreal holding the top wildcard spot, Pittsburgh in second, and then Carolina and Buffalo are the two teams just below the playoff line at the moment. So these are all teams with massive amounts to play for. You can check it all out at the BB&T Center this week. That'll just about do it for this edition of the Florida Panthers Insider Show. Again, check out all the games this week at the BB&T Center, floridapanthers.com for your tickets. Thanks to Jamie McGinn for sitting down with the Territory Talk podcast. Thanks to Josh Brown for sitting down with Doug. You heard that on today's show. And to Brian White, Director of Athletics and Vice President at FAU. Hope you enjoyed this edition of the Florida Panthers Insider Show. Again, check out all the games across the Florida Panthers radio network this week. Tomorrow night against Montreal, Tuesday night against Buffalo, Thursday night against Carolina, and Saturday, mid-afternoon, we'll call it, against the Los Angeles Kings here across the Florida Panthers radio network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.